Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
Good afternoon.
It's good to be back and looking forward to what the Lord has for us today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's just jump right in today. And we all are a little bit torn because of the news of the day. We're we're actually recording this on Wednesday and just heard that what's tragic to us and his family, the loss of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, and we just talked about him the other day.
Yes, we did.
I believe it was while we were recording.
Well, I mentioned him in my sermon, for sure.
Yeah.
And he was a mighty man of God.
Indeed he was.
And we will miss him. And yes, and it sends repercussions through the whole world, but especially through our world.
Mm-hmm.
And makes us all take a step back.
And while we're at it, somewhat locally here in Evergreen, Colorado, there was a shooting at a school today, and I was floundering around, I suppose the term might be, to figure out if some friends of mine were present, but turns out it was at the high school, and my friends' children were at the middle school.
Wow.
So.
It gets your attention, for sure.
It sure does. Sure. And I think, I have a feeling it's going to tie in a little bit to what we have to say today. So
yes, well, it definitely ties into the Word of God and to our response as Christians. So let's pray.
Absolutely,
Father, I pray that you would guide us today, and Lord, we would stop right now and we would thank you for the way you used Charlie Kirk during his what we consider to be short life.
Mm.
Lord, he did more than most do in a lifetime, and we're just thankful for the courage that he had and his ability to stand up for you. And Lord, as you have done so many times with the blood of martyrs, you have caused that to bring about great and mighty things. So Lord, we hurt, we grieve, even as Stephen in Scripture's family must have grieved. But we're thankful. And then we also pray for his dear wife and children who are probably too young to even really understand anything, but that Dad's not coming home tonight. So, Lord, help us. Our nation is a mess. And we have so many questions, so many issues, and we know that what we really need are hearts that are broken for Jesus and trusting in Jesus. So we ask you to bless Kyle and I as we talk about last Sunday. And we ask that you use this for your glory, for our edification, and for anyone who would dare to listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, before we get done today, we want to talk about the one, absolutely one thing. Somebody might argue there are other things, but the one thing the Scripture says that you have to have to please God.
Yeah, and as we were taking our 30 seconds or so to prepare for this and figuring out what our question was going to be for the day. We came up with a couple things there, and I thought, man, I don't know. And now I've kept thinking about it, I think this message is incredibly poignant today, that We need to figure out our way to get ourselves right so that we can get our country right.
Absolutely.
Because if we don't get ourselves, if we don't take care of ourselves and our home first, then nothing else really.
Well, it's an emphasis in our church right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all praying. I hope we all are. A lot of us are praying that God will give us a revival. And that revival starts in my heart, in your heart, and the heart of the church. It doesn't start in the community. It starts with God's people. So, you know, this truth we're going to talk about today and talking about wisdom and seeking after things that have real value, which is the title, is absolutely core essential to revival.
You know, and as you started out, I mean, you told the story of the Queen of Sheba, and honestly, did not know hardly anything. I didn't know anything except that the name existed, and I feel like there's a lot more to know to that story that I'm kind of interested in now. But she was seeking Solomon's wisdom, and brought a few tons worth of gold.
Yes.
And I think I want to say you put that that weight, that mass of gold, at being somewhere around $500 million in value in today's dollars.
4.5 tons of gold.
That's a lot. That is a lot. Yeah. 9,000 pounds of gold. You know, and I think we're hovering close to $3,000 an ounce, and so the math works out to being about $500 million. That's strange. I know this will shock you. That's more than I have in my bank account right now.
Well, I think we can concur on that
by a factor of a lot. It does get me thinking, like, the value we put on, the value we put on things is probably kind of ridiculous. But I do want to put, I like to have things, items of value. If I'm going to go buy a new pocket knife, I say this because my son wants a new pocket knife, and he saw one that was about $5, and he thinks that's the greatest thing on earth. And I'm looking at it thinking, don't waste your $5. For one, that's not your $5. That was my work that created that $5. And I would like you to get more value out of the work that I put into making that $5. But then my mind jumped to, I've been in a similar scenario a few times in my life, but I recall one where I was helping a friend who had found herself in an abusive relationship, and it was time to leave. And when she left, she lost a lot of her stuff. Just most of her things she did not have anymore. But she left with her daughter. And that was where real value lied.
Sure.
Or laid. It wasn't in the plates and the cabinets and the TV hanging up on the wall. TVs probably didn't hang on the wall at that point in time as I'm thinking about it. But, it really wasn't in those things. And I'm sure that in the intervening years, she has replaced all of that and doesn't even think about it anymore. But probably still thinks about that little girl every single day.
Absolutely.
Who isn't so little these days, I'm sure. So,
well, you know, all of us face that crisis when we're going to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that we want to last? Is it something that will last? Is it something we're going to use a lot?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you surely don't go wrong when you buy real value and quality stuff. One of the big problems, I think, that actually ties into our discussion today about the search for wisdom and really wanting wisdom and what's really important is that we live in a throwaway society.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper to buy something new than it is to fix what you've got.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was not the mentality of my parents. My dad was born in 1929 and went through they were in the throes of the First World War and a result of that, and then went through the Second World War. And
And that would have been, you know, he would have lived through Depression era
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, there. He was born in 29. Yeah, the stock market crashed about 2 weeks before he was born.
Yeah.
So he was
coming of age in the aftermath of that.
Yeah, and so, you know, just barely missed going to war.
Yeah.
He was just a little bit too young for that. But anyway, that generation, man, you took care of everything.
Yep.
You didn't throw anything away because if you had it, you would find a use for it until it was absolutely destroyed. And but today we have a totally different attitude. And I mean, so many things are made out of plastic. I mean, the front end of your car is made out of plastic.
That's right.
And some form of it. But it's scary because we can do relationships the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, God has told us that we need his wisdom. And in Proverbs 1 and 2, Solomon wrote to his son and he said, "My son, seek wisdom." That is one of the most, if not the most important thing, is to seek wisdom and know where the real source of wisdom comes from. The real source of wisdom comes from the Creator who made us all. And so that's a big, big deal. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I was talking to my wife, Deborah, and she made a statement. She said, "You know, we're all the time preaching about how we're supposed to love." She said, "But how often do we talk about asking God for the wisdom to know how to love?" And that is so profound to me when she said that, because, you know, I preach, as you can testify very regularly, that we should love. Mm-hmm. And God has called us to love him. He's called us to love each other. He's called us to love our neighbor, our enemy, everyone. But yet that's tricky.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of scenarios that come up and you go, "Boy, how do I love during this situation?" And that's hard.
It is.
And I need God's wisdom to give that love the right way. You know, sometimes love is saying, "I really do love you, but no."
Right.
And, you know, if it's our child, but they don't understand that.
Right.
Or because it surely isn't what they want to hear.
No.
But there's just a lot of different responses of love. And wisdom, God's wisdom, shows us how to do all things that we need to do to please him.
So Two things popped into my head, and I scribbled them down because I seem to say this a lot. I got two things that I want to cover, and I cover one, and I never come back to the other. I want to get to that seeking wisdom thing, but you said something earlier that made me wonder with the throwaway society idea. As we raise our children and interact with other people and whatnot, the idea that popped into my head of the way we take care of stuff, that we throw it away and buy a new one instead of fixing the chair that we've got, we throw it away and we buy a new dining room set. How does that, I shouldn't say how does it, how do you think that relates to what we're teaching? Are we indirectly teaching our children by doing that how to treat people?
You know, that's a very in-depth.
Yeah.
We could spend our entire time talking about that because there's so many layers to that. But I think the quick answer is yes, we are. We children that grow up in this age have so much.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get bored, then they've got something else to replace it immediately. Whereas, you know, there have been many a day I've played with a stick all day long. It's all I had. But I had all kinds of wonderful things I could do with that stick.
Right.
And children still have that creativity in them, but we have so inundated them with stuff that, you know, just they leave their toys around. And listen, when I got my first BB gun, whoo, buddy, you're talking about taking care of that.
And there probably wasn't a safe Coke can in the entire county, was there?
Well, there wasn't, but I didn't dare leave it outside in the rain.
No.
I didn't dare mistreat it.
Nope.
Because man, that was my tool, you know.
And yeah.
I love my BB gun. Well.
Yep.
But I see that too. You know, I see this generation. I watch children, and it's not their fault. I'm not blaming them, but you know, they just leave a trail behind them. And now, so we don't get caught on some rabbit hole there. The truth is that can carry over to all parts of life.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking what's really real and what's really important and what's really valuable. We have a skewed idea of what value really is. We don't care about value as much as we care about more. And that's a tragic thing.
Well, and I think of what I just said about my son wanting a new pocket knife, and the lesson that I can hopefully teach him with that. And I kind of feel bad buying a thing, but buying a thing is important. And he can go out and he can buy that $5 pocket knife from Walmart, or we can save up and he can get a job or 10, you know, mowing yards, or I pass newspapers. I think those days are long gone. And save up and buy himself a new Randall knife and have it for the rest of his life. And perhaps if I can teach him that in that way, that's trivial up next to finding a wife. Mm-hmm. That hopefully he will buy once, as it were, and have for the rest of his life.
One wife, one real relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You just name it. There's so many things that, you know, do we really want value? Even with our relationships with God, as a pastor, I see this all the time. People are satisfied with, well, I go to church on Sunday.
Right.
And it's like, don't you really want to know the living God? I mean, are you going to play at this? Is this something that you just do because it's convenient? And then how about, like you said, about the person you marry?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shoot, so many people today aren't even getting married.
Well, and if I get tired with that toy, I just throw it off and get myself a new one.
That's why we don't get married, because it won't last anyway.
Or heaven help us have a whole bunch of toys. Yeah. You know.
And so what? I think we've nailed this thing. You know what? Going forward, we have to discipline ourselves and challenge each other. Are we really looking for the best?
Yeah.
Are we really striving for the best? And wanting that real value that we're talking about?
So to go on to my second question then, and I think we're kind of dancing around it here too. When we talk about seeking wisdom, what does that, I mean, I feel like we just did that to some degree. Like, we're seeking that wisdom just by asking these questions and trying to find the answers. But what is it to seek wisdom? Is it just saying, is it just in my prayers saying, God, give me wisdom? Because that seems,
you know, Kyle, trivial. I think a huge part of seeking wisdom is, where do you go to seek wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, where do most people go today when they want to have knowledge? They go to the internet.
Right. Go to YouTube University.
Or anymore, they ask AI.
Yep.
But just a great analogy of that, if I've got a problem with my computer, I can sit over there and try and figure it out. And knowing that with the way my mind operates, if I do figure it out, I won't remember tomorrow. Okay, it just doesn't, my mind didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. My brain didn't work that way. Or I'm sitting across from the guy that is on a computer every day and knows 100 times more about it than I do. So what is wisdom? Is wisdom for me to go over and beat my brains over something that I'm not even going to retain, or really understand when I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or would I ask you the question? And that principle is on steroids when you talk about me trying to figure it out for myself versus seeking the God of heaven. And I made this illustration on Sunday. I said, you know, God knows what I'm going to be doing right now, this time tomorrow. He knows the thoughts that will be going through my head. He knows the circumstances that I'll be surrounded by. He knows the people that I'll be encountering. He'll know the emotions that I've experienced all day tomorrow. He right. knows all of that. Right. And why would I not want to get on my knees early in the morning and say, Lord, would you direct me through this day? Would you help me with this day? Because he's told us if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us. And if we ask humbly and trusting him, he will guide us through our lives. And that means through every moment of our lives. But we gotta let him. You know, God's a gentleman. And he does intervene, but very rarely. He'll let us learn from our stupidity, or we can learn from our humility and asking him.
So, back to the Queen of Sheba. So she was seeking Solomon's wisdom.
Yes, she came to him because she'd heard of all of his wealth. Mm-hmm. She'd heard of just the great prosperity that was going on. And as a good queen would, she wanted the best for her people. I'm convinced of that. She wanted to be the best ruler she could be.
Okay.
And so, yes, in a very real ancient sense, she was looking for a consultant to help her be better.
Okay.
And she came with an open mind. She was guarded because it said, she told Solomon, I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I doubted what I'd heard. I thought it was too good to be true. But I've come and found out that everything I've heard was true, plus even more. And so she did come seeking with a humble heart, with a curious heart, with a little bit of caution, which is wise. You know, and I encourage our people, I'll encourage anybody listening to this podcast, listen, God's not afraid of your questions.
Right.
If yeah. you will honestly seek his answers, now you can say, well, I asked God, but he didn't do anything. But did you look at his word? Did you look at the truth that he has in his word? Did you look at the tools he's given us for your answers? Or did you just want him to be a genie in the bottle and pop some answer right out of the sky for you?
Yeah.
And you see, that's the thing, is the Queen of Sheba went to a lot of time, a lot of money, or a lot of expense. She was willing to invest to find the answers that she really needed for life and for being a better ruler. And she went to the best that the world had to offer at that point. It was Solomon, and probably the best the world's ever had to offer in that respect. And except for Jesus.
Right.
But as far as a complete man, not a man and God, Jesus. But she invested and she went looking for it. You know, remember I used the illustration that Jesus used. He said, if somebody learns that there's buried treasure in a field,
mm-hmm.
and they find out that field is for sale, then they bury the treasure back, they go buy the land, and then they go back and they find that then they have the treasure. They own it because it's on the property.
Right.
And that is what God's wisdom is. It is buried treasure. Now, once you buy the land, you still have to dig it up. You still have to mine it.
Mm-hmm.
But God has said that if we will come to him in faith, trust in him. And what is trust in him? Well, it's being willing to invest. It's being willing to seek with all your heart. It's being open-minded. It's trusting him. So, Kyle, it's so important that we learn to discipline ourselves to ask God for wisdom and to seek it. The world's got all kinds of stuff out there. And no, you're not going to find in the Bible all the answers to your test on quantum physics, okay?
Right.
Although there's a lot of principles there. I mean,
maybe more to that one than some other subjects.
I don't perhaps. Know anything about quantum physics. But I wouldn't even know how to start asking those questions. But the truth is, God's principles do help us in every area of life. And when we ask him for wisdom, you see, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is learning to do what you need to do with knowledge.
Right.
And using knowledge appropriately. You know, I can know something about you that is just very personal between me and you. And I can exert wisdom that says, God, I know this about Kyle, and I don't know anything that I'm talking about, but I can know this about Kyle, so God, how can I love that man? How can I help that man? Or I could say, I know this about Kyle. I can manipulate Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't do what I say, then I can go broadcast it and hurt him very badly, or hurt somebody he loves very badly. One's wisdom. One is selfish ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the mantra in the world, the business world? You step on whoever you got to get to the top. But God says, no, you serve. And he said, I'll take the least of you and make you the greatest. He said, if you get invited to a banquet, go sit at the foot of the table. And if they invite you to the head, you go. But you stay at the foot until they invite you to go. It's just the opposite of the world's mentality, but it's part of God's wisdom. And let me tell you what. The greatest people that ever walked on the face of this earth and their impact on history and the world are people that were servants first.
And to kind of come back around on this, I feel like that was the wisdom of Charlie Kirk and what he did. He was kind of a political apologist, but he was also a godly apologist.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And he didn't. People say how hateful he was, but there are people who just didn't like what he had to say.
That's right.
And I really, as I saw portions of his activity today, that ultimately led to his assassination, and he's holding conversations with people and trying to overcome emotion with facts and reason and logic. And it's really easy for me to say, well, I feel like God should just be happy with me being happy with loving whoever I want to love, for instance. When he would come back at me, well, and you have, I have, we've all said something, relating to this, that it's not just how you feel. Let's look at the logistics of things. Let's look at what God says about things, and that having that honest conversation, that's wisdom. And throwing stones is not.
No. And that's what produces hate and strife and all those things that actually contribute to this today.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And you had a little segment at the end of the sermon, and I'm going to get the wording wrong, but it was something of not fretting, not worrying, I seem to recall.
Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that word, there's other passages that we dealt with, and I'm not thinking of which one right now, but the whole idea is, if you're wounded, if you're hurting, I don't care how you're living life, when you're trying to walk, especially if you're wounded or hurting, you don't want to be on a path that's full of rocks and stones where you can turn your ankle again, and hurt yourself.
Right.
You want to find a path that is smooth, and that is true and it's real. And you know what? God's truth doesn't change. It's not always easy, but it's safe. It's safe in the sense that it'll take you to the right place. It'll get you there. And this world, we bring so many things into our lives that because we dabble in it, they're just stumbling blocks.
Right.
To take us away from what's really important. People say, you know, I just want to be happy. Well, I got news for you. This world is going to throw you curveballs the rest of your life. That'll steal your happiness. And Jesus said, now listen, I think Jesus was probably a pretty happy person.
I agree.
But first and foremost, Jesus was full of joy. And joy is not based on what happens. Joy is based on who you are and what you have and what you are. And so it's so important that we look for God's wisdom, that we can really find real joy. You can do what's fun in the moment and regret it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hurt you, it hurt somebody else. I mean, that proverbial teenager that's driving 100 miles an hour and laughing and cutting up with his friends,
right.
And all of a sudden a deer comes out in the middle of the road and he swerves to miss it and rolls it three times and kills his best friend. Was that 100 miles an hour worth it? Was that thrill worth it? No way.
No. Yeah.
And that story has been repeated thousands of times in some form or fashion. And stories me and you've heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things like that in life. It looks like it's fun right now. It's a thrill right now. That morality is that way. The Lord says, you know, that our morality should be in the sanctity of marriage. And our sexual relationship should be in the sanctity of marriage. But we think, man, I want this and I want it now. What's the big deal? I'm going to marry her someday.
Right.
And the damage that causes is tough. It's not that it can't be overcome, but it causes scars and hurt and pain, and it's difficult to overcome. And listen, I'm talking as somebody has talked to lots of people.
Yep.
So God's way is the best way. God's wisdom is the best way. Even when it doesn't feel good or it's not easy, it's the best thing.
Well, and I feel like we're knocking right on the door to the answer to our question there then.
Absolutely.
The thing we need to know God.
The thing that it says in Scripture that it's impossible to please God without is trust. Trust or faith. Without faith, it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. The word faith there is the Greek word I talk about a lot, pistuo, which I feel like would be better translated to the American mind, trust. And without trust, it's impossible to please God. And trust means that I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to do my very best to hear what He says and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not consider what I want or what I think is best. Why would I do that when I've got the best consultant in the world? I've got the God of glory who knows everything.
Well, and as we face the trials and tribulations of the day and we seek wisdom in how to deal with those things, that requires faith.
It does. And let me tell you what, brother, I don't want anybody to think that Pastor John's sitting here thinking that I've got a corner on this market. Because
right.
When everything's hitting the fan and your world's collapsing all around you, and you deal with pain and heartache or the stupidity of your own actions.
Mm.
Boy, trust in the Lord then, it's hard.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, that's when it really counts the most. And so I would just appeal to people everywhere. You know, our relationship with God begins with trust. It begins with trusting Him to forgive our sins, trusting Him with our eternity, trusting Him with our lives in the very basic beginning. And that's how we're born again, as we call upon the Lord. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is what it says. But that trust that leads us to salvation is only the beginning. And it's such a baby form of what it's going to take to walk through life with the Lord. But if we want our lives to really count, we trust Him. And one of the basic ways that we prove we trust Him is when we ask for His wisdom and then we do what He shows us to do.
There you go. All right. Well, I can't think of a better way to wrap it up. So what do we have for next week then?
We're going to continue our series on wisdom. All right. And next week we're going to talk about a new empty house. What do you put in it?
All right. Well, I'll look forward to hearing that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, bro. Much. Yeah.